If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 46. Genesis chapter number 46. I was going to read a little bit in 45, but I think we'll just start in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 46. We are in a short series of about 6 or 7 messages concerning these times that God called, or different words were given two times together. And tonight we'll be dealing with another one of these. This is our third in the series. And this is found in Genesis chapter number 46, verse number 1. It says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel, and the visions in the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods that they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, and Jacob and all of his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the generations of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons." And we'll leave off reading there, because the next few verses there is a list of all those souls that came out of Canaan and went to the land of Egypt at the disposal of the Lord, as God had called them there. And here tonight we find that the Lord says, "Jacob, Jacob." Now, Jacob is an interesting character in the Old Testament, and you can almost call him a character. Jacob, of course, was a surplanter. He was one that was many times used trickery to get everything done. And so tonight we look at this man, Jacob, who was named Israel. His name was changed by the Lord. It was changed from Jacob to Israel. Jacob being the one that was a surplanter, or he would have his way. He would do something to make things his way by trickery. And there came a time when God did a work in his heart and also upon his body. He became a cripple because of the wrestling with the Lord. And now God changes his name and calls him Israel. Israel means the friend of God. And so we find the illustrious story of this man, Jacob. We deal with his life as a life of surrender. We have dealt with the calls of sorrow, the twice call of sacrifice last week, as we dealt with our sacrifice of the Lord and the salvation that He gives to us. And so tonight we're going to deal with this thing of surrender. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do, is to surrender to the Lord. Sometimes we have to surrender to the Lord when we really do not know exactly what we are surrendering unto. The Lord will touch our heart about certain things, and He begins to work in our life. And it shows us our position in the face of the Lord, and the position that we have in just following the direction that God gives to us. Jacob was one of these men that his life was filled with pain and sorrow. Most of his life was a troubled life. He struggled with his brother. He struggled in his marriage. He struggled getting the right wife. Everything about Jacob was a struggle. Even from the before he was born, the twins struggled within the womb of the mother, and of course everything about his life was a struggle. And many times we find out that we have struggles in our life, and as Jacob, sometimes we are. Sometimes those struggles are self-imposed. Sometimes they're our own fault. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. But Jacob was the youngest of twins, two boys that were born, Esau being the elder brother, and of course then Jacob being the younger. The Bible says that he was a simple man, then he dwelt in tents. He wasn't too much of an outdoorsman. He was a man that dwelt in tents, took care of things at home, and just a simple lifestyle. The first incident mentioned in Jacob's life was when he stole the birthright of his brother Esau. And we know the story, how that Esau was hungry. He'd been out, and he came in hungry, and Jacob was having a stew, or the Bible calls it a sod of pottage, or it was just a stew that was being made and being cooked. And we're studying this in our Bible class, and they can tell me what that sod meant. They better be able to tell me what the lentils were. What was it, Kenzie? His beans. He was just cooking a bowl of beans. And Esau came, and he was hungry and famished. And so Jacob figures out a way that I'll get his birthright. And that struggle between the two continue and go on and on. And Jacob went after whatever he wanted, and he would get it by, if it took trickery, then he would trick. If it took lying, he would lie. If it took stealing, he would steal. Jacob was a man of the earth. Jacob was a man that was a very earthly and had that idea in his heart. But God had to teach him some things about surrender. And sometimes surrendering is very, very hard. And Jacob, with all of his problems, was the one of the two sons, of the twins, that God was going to bless and God was going to use him. And God had to take Jacob down some struggles and down some roads and pathways to bring him to the point where he was here in chapter 46 where that we read, and he calls his name twice, Jacob, Jacob. And you'll notice here that Jacob's response is a response of one that is surrendered to the Lord. He says, "Here am I." May God help us to have that attitude when the Lord speaks to us, as we saw last week, that we are just to say, "Here am I," or "Here I am." But let's notice some things about the life of Jacob. Some things about the early part of his life and those details that we will look at. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures tonight. We'll be turning back and forth in the book of Genesis because Jacob is a very important character in the book of Genesis, and he covers a lot of territory. And so we'll be looking at a number of things. If you would turn back to Genesis chapter number 25. Back to Genesis chapter 25. We'll be looking tonight here at the first part of some people that tested Jacob's life. There are some folks that was a test to him, and one of them being his brother. Esau was is a type of the natural man. You see, the Scripture talks about the natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man. Well, Esau was a type of that natural man that has no spirituality about him at all. And we come to Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 21. And this is the conception and the birth of Jacob and Esau. Verse number 21 says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, and the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" Now, in the very beginning and the conception and the growth of those children within the womb of the mother, God had told her, "Within thy womb are two nations. They're going to be diverse nations. They're going to be struggling nations." And as they struggled even before their birth, they struggled after their birth. And you know what? They're still struggling tonight. The offsprings of Esau, the offsprings of Jacob, are in a struggle continually. We call it the Middle East conflict. And these folks are direct descendants of these two. And we find that the Lord says that the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now that seems out of place, that seems out of sorts, because in the time of the book of Genesis and even on through in some, even today in certain societies, The older son is always the head of the home or head of the household. As the father matures and grows old and sometimes passes off the scene, then the elder son takes up that sort of like that statesman's attitude. And we find that God said, but the younger is going to serve, or the elder is going to serve the younger. And so Esau becomes a very troubled person, and he becomes a problem in the life of Jacob because Esau, his birthright was stolen by Jacob. And later on, the Bible says he didn't want his birthright. He didn't want the position of firstborn. He didn't care. It says he despised his birthright. And he just didn't care. He'd rather had a bowl of beans. He'd rather had the pottage. He'd rather had just something for the moment to satisfy the need that he had, rather than to think about the blessing of being the firstborn and what could be given to him because of it. And so Jacob steals, literally, the birthright of Esau because Esau didn't care. And so Jacob said, well, if you don't want it, I'll take it and I'll be the first and I'll be the one in control. And he did it by conniving and trickery. We don't have time to read all the chapters, how that things were connived together between he and his mother and how that they tried to take these things in their own hand, getting ahead of the Lord. He stole his birthright. Later on, he steals the blessing that the father is going to give to the elder son. And of course, you know the story how that Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a plain man, and they go out and connive away that the father was blind and could not see, and they connive away how that Jacob moved in on Esau and he stole his blessing from the father. And so this Esau became a very troubled person with Jacob. Later on, when you read in the life of Esau, you'll find there's another man that causes him a lot of trouble. And that's found in Genesis chapter 26 through 31. Don't get fearful. We're not going to read all those chapters. You can read that. You know the story, how that Jacob wanted a certain wife. And he was told that if you work for me, Laban said, if you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you. And he worked those 7 years, and he got his wife, but wasn't one he wanted. And so he had been tricked, come around to him. It came back to him the way he had lived his life has now come back to him. So he's worked 7 years for the wrong woman. That's bad enough to work 7 years for the right one, but that's the wrong one. We'll not go any farther. I do have to go home tonight. But Laban stole 7 years out of the life of Jacob. Kind of a struggle. And so Jacob said, I don't want Leah, I want Rachel. And so he works another 7 years. And if you read the story, even after those 7 years, he stayed another 5 or 6 years. Laban was just getting all that he could out of this man, Jacob. He was being supplanted himself. He was being tricked. He was being used. And Laban was that type of, as Esau is the type of the natural man, Laban is the type of the carnal man. He just wants all that he can get, and he wants to keep it all to himself. And so he just was using Jacob for all that he could get out of him. And that was a test in Jacob's life. And all those tests were for a purpose and for a reason. Sometimes struggles come to us, and we wonder why. Sometimes tests come to our life, and we wonder why. We don't necessarily know the reason. We don't know the answer. But somewhere down the line, we find out, well, I remember what God did for me and how God helped me in that struggle, how God helped me in that problem. And then it becomes something that becomes a blessing to us. So there are some people that tested Jacob's life, and he has been supplanted. He has been tricked, just like he tricked his brother. Now, he has been tricked by Laban, and he has to stay in that land for around 20 years just to get what he desired and what he wanted. But there were some places also in Jacob's life that sort of tempered him. You know, when you temper steel, you make it through heat, you make it stronger. Something that's tempered is something that is strong. If you get a knife that's not tempered, you can cut something very soft with it and it becomes dull. But if you take a knife blade that's been tempered by the heat and has been treated correctly, then that knife will hold an edge on it. It'll hold a sharpened edge. And so there's some places in Jacob's life that helped to sharpen Jacob. There's a place that places that would help make him what he should be for this later time in his life where God could help him and God could bless him. One of the places that you find in the life of Jacob is the place called Beersheba. In chapter number 26 of the book of Genesis, we find the place called Beersheba. Look at verse 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the beside that first famine, the days of Abraham and Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and to Gera. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt and dwell in that land, shall tell thee of, and sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. Now that's to Isaac, and he tells him not to go, but he tells later on, he tells Jacob to go there. And when he goes there, he finds some water. He finds there are seven wells of water, the place that could be blessed of him. It was the place where he lived when he got Esau's birthright. So this area was something very familiar in the life of Jacob, and is a place where he attained some blessings of the Lord. And here also is a place where he lost some pride. Turn over to chapter number 46. I told you we'd be going back and forth to some of these chapters. Chapter number 46, the book of Genesis. Here we find Jacob is going into Egypt. And we find that in verse number 1, and Israel, which is Jacob, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. Now notice verse 3. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. A lot of years has gone by since God told his mother, In thy womb there's two nations. Now Jacob has matured and he's grown, and he goes to this place that God directs him. He's in Beersheba. Look in verse number 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes. And Jacob rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle, their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Beersheba is a place where you lose your pride. Here is a man that has a large family, and because of famine, because of circumstances, he's going to have to go to Egypt in order to be fed. Now we know the story of Joseph, and while his stay there was in Egypt, of course, Jacob being his father, and we could take all that time tonight and tell how the Lord worked in their life. But now it has come time when the famine is great and there's nothing that they can do in Canaan land, and God directs them to go to Egypt, and there he loses his pride, and he goes down to the land of Egypt, and there he is taken care of by another people. There's another place in, and we'll come back to Egypt in just a moment, but there's another place that Jacob was tempered with, and that's the place called Bethel, the house of God. And we could go back and see those verses, but Bethel became a very important place in the life of Jacob that helped him and secured his place. But now he comes to Egypt in verse number 3, where we just read of our text. He comes to Egypt. This is a place of discipline. They're there because of their sin. You know, God's furnace sometimes is there to forge and to strengthen us. God's furnace to forge a great nation was to be taken here out of Egypt, but it became a place of blessing. While they were in Egypt, Israel grew, and people grew and they became a great nation, and they were able to do wonderful things because God had blessed them. They came to the land that was called Goshen. That was a place that was very important in the life of Jacob and the people of Israel. Now, God tells him to go to Egypt. God had told Abraham and Isaac, don't go to Egypt. And the verses in chapter 12 and also in chapter 26, God warns those two men, Abraham and Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. But He tells Jacob, you go, and when you go, you will be blessed. I'm glad tonight, when we do what God tells us to do, we have the promise of being blessed. We have the promise of God's blessings upon us, wherever it might be. And in verse number 3, this is a wonderful verse. And God tells to Jacob, He says, I am God. What a great statement that is. I am God. Now, we've been studying in our class. Anytime you see, a lot of times when you see the word El, Beth El means house of God. El means God. And here the Lord tells Jacob, He said, I am God. And He uses a form of that word El. He uses the word Elohim. He said, I am God of creation. And thank God tonight, if He has created us, He certainly, surely can take care of us. He can help us in every situation of life. He is Elohim. He is God, the Creator. And then He says, I am the God of thy father. Not only am I the God of creation, not only am I the God that is present with you, but I'm the God of history. I'm the God that has carried your nation, your family, and Abraham and Isaac and all those closely related people. I'm the God that has blessed them. And He says, if I can bless them, I will bless you. You go down to Egypt, you go there, and I will make thee a great nation. And God did that. And God blessed them and certainly used Jacob in a marvelous way to get them to this place where God could make a great nation out of them. We find there's places that God touched the life of Jacob. He ended up touching the thigh of Jacob. There's the presence of the Lord, and God touched him, and God touched his life. I mentioned a while ago the place of Bethel. This is where we read in Genesis chapter 28 concerning that great account that we tell our children, the Bible story of Jacob's ladder. In Genesis chapter number 28, verses 15 on down through there, we find that the Lord, He tells him in verse number 15, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. God says, I'm not going to leave you until I've done what I said I would do. You know what? God's not going to leave us either. He's going to help us. He's going to be with us until He does with us what He desires to do in our life. And so the Bible says that in verse number 16, and Jacob awakened out of sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So we find that Jacob is resting his head upon the pillow of stone, and he has this dream, and he sees descending and ascending up the ladder toward heaven. And God tells him this message. He said, I am with thee, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And he calls it, later he calls it Bethel, which means house of God. He says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had had for his pillows and set upon it for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. So here is the presence of the Lord speaking to Jacob. And Abraham met God and he built an altar. Jacob met God and he built an altar. And we find that they recognize the faithfulness of the Lord. I will be with thee and I will do with you what I have said I would do. You know, tonight He's going to do the same thing with us. When the Lord saved me, He said, I'll take you to heaven. That's the promise we have. And you know what? He will do just exactly what He said. He will, after He saves us, somewhere down life's journey, He'll take us to heaven. Now, we're all hoping and we're wishing. We desire that we would be in that crowd that would be in the rapture. None of us want to die. Anybody in here want to die? No. We don't desire that. We want to live. And I guess the older you get, the more you think about it. But you begin to think about, if I die, I better have everything in order so that when I'm gone, somebody else can take care and somebody else will know. And I heard some preacher the other day said, I've even told my wife exactly what songs I want. And he said, I'm not thinking about dying, but I might. And he said, I want them to know what I want. And so we all make plans and preparations. But we have the faithfulness of God that He said, I will take care of you. I will bless you. And He told Jacob here in in these verses that we read, He said, what I started in your life, I'm going to fulfill it. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament, that which He began a good work, and He will finish it. He'll complete it and will take care of it until the day of redemption. That's the faithfulness of our God. I'm glad that I can rest in the faithfulness of the Lord. I can't rest in somebody else's faithfulness because they may fail. I can't even rest in my own faithfulness because I may fail. But I can rest in His. And I can understand that He will help me with everything that I need. Now I'll turn over just a few pages. There's another place. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 32. This is the pivotal occurrence in the life of Jacob that changes everything about him. His name was changed. His life was changed. His outlook was changed because one day he met God. You know, that's what happens to us. When we meet the Lord, if we really meet the Lord, it'll change us. And we find here in chapter number 32, in verse number 24, we're getting the right chapter, it won't sound right. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone. Interesting statement. Jacob is fearful now of Esau, his brother. He's going to meet him for the first time in many, many years. And he remembers what he did to Esau. And he's afraid. Who of us wouldn't be afraid? He is my enemy. And he's going to have to meet his brother now face to face. If you read the verses before, he sends all of his family over. He don't want them harmed. He doesn't want them killed by Esau and his band, his army. So he sends all of his family away. And here in verse 24, Jacob was left alone. Notice here the reading of the verses. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as the prince hast thou power with God and with men, hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face. Notice here, and my life is preserved. He said, I met God face to face. And from that moment on, Jacob's whole outlook on life was different. His name was changed. His heart was changed. His outlook was changed. He had respect to the one that he had met. And he was left all alone there in his own fear and trembling, and there wrestled with him a man. Of course, we believe this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called a theophany. They've studied that too. And so these things are that we have is an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament before He is born, His incarnation. And Jacob wrestles with Him, and he's not going to let Him go. And the angel here, the person, touches his thigh. And so his attitude changes, his life changes, his name changes, and you know what else changed? The way he walked. From that very moment, from that moment on, Jacob walked with a limp. Every time he took a step, I don't know if there's pain involved, Scripture doesn't say, but every time he took a step, he remembered that encounter with God. Every time he walked up a hillside, or every time he walked into a valley, every time he went to his home and to his tent, he remembered the reason that he was limping was because he had met God and God had touched him and changed his life. That person that transformed Jacob's life, I believe, was none other than the Lord. He was on, in chapter 45, he's on a wagon heading toward Egypt. I believe God was his escort. God took care of everything. In Genesis chapter 45, verse number 19, here's when they're getting ready to go into Egypt. And I read a portion of this, a part of this a while ago, and about the wagons in a different place. Verse number 19, we find that he was headed toward Egypt with his family. Now thou art commanded this, do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Talking to Joseph here. Also regard not your stuff, for the good is all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. That's the children of Jacob. Remember now, his name's been changed. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And so he sent his brethren away and departed, and said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Make sure you don't falter. Make sure you don't fail. Make sure you come back to where you are have been told to come. The Bible says in verse 27, and they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. What a wonderful story that was to Jacob. Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and I will see him before I die. Jacob's an old man here. He's getting ready to leave this world. He has lived all those years wondering about his son, Joseph. You know the story. How that his brothers hated him and how they put him in a pit. They sold him to the buyers of the slaves. He ends up in Pharaoh's house, and becomes very important. He saved Egypt. He gave them a plan how to take care of the future. And Joseph has been elevated now. He's right up there next to the top, and he sends wagons for his family to come. And Jacob hasn't heard until he gets this word that Joseph, your son, is alive. So he gets on the wagon and he goes to Egypt. Oh, I believe he had a great escort. I believe he had God to give him strength to do that. The Lord Jesus can make us what we ought to be. He makes him a noble person. And here is a crippled shepherd. That's really what Joseph was. He's limping along in his life because one day he met God. He's a cripple and he's a shepherd. Now, shepherds were hated in the land of Egypt. I mean, there wasn't anything worse than a shepherd to the Egyptians. But here's a whole group of people coming to the land of Goshen. That's up in the northern part of what we would think of there of Egypt today. It's a very fertile land around the River Nile. It would grow everything. It would grow anything. And they got the best land of all of Egypt. And they're just shepherds. Look in verse number 29 in this same chapter, verse 46. Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Verse 30. And Israel, or Joseph, said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, "I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me." Notice verse 32. "And the men and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass that when Pharaoh shall call you and say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and our father, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." He says, you tell them that you're taking care of herds and cattle because shepherds are hated in Egypt. But you see, when you come to verse 1 of chapter 47, here we find the monarch, the strongest, most powerful man of all the known world of that day, Pharaoh, comes to this man, Jacob. And Jacob delivers a blessing upon the monarch of Egypt. Should have been the other way around, by all indications, or the way it always is. It is the monarch that puts blessings upon people. But here's this man called Jacob. And the reason that he could do this, the reason that he would had this position given to him, because one day he met God. One day he met him face to face. He recognized and God touched his thigh. And he had that reference in his life from then on. In chapter 47, "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren, their flocks and their herds and all that they have are coming to the land of, out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he said unto his brethren, even five men, and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brethren, What is your occupation? They said to Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come, for the servants have no pasture for their flocks. And for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brother are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. And the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell." The best of Egypt they were to dwell. The land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? Here's the old man, Jacob, putting a blessing upon the monarch of Egypt, the Pharaoh. And this is all because one day there was a person that transformed his life. There were those people that had tested Jacob. There are those places that had tempered him. There's those presences that were given to him, those different cities that had touched his life. And now there is a person that's transformed him, and we call him Jesus. Thank God tonight we serve a living Lord. And He is one that's able to take us out of obscurity and place us in a position to be used of God, to be blessed of God, and then even to bless others because of His meeting us. Jacob, Jacob. Jacob said, "Here I am." That statement was made after all the struggles in Jacob's life. Sometimes we have to go through a lot before we'll say, "Here I am." Sometimes we have to suffer a lot of things before we're willing to say, "All right, Lord, I'll do what you tell me. I'll follow. I'll surrender to your call." Sometimes it takes a long time. Jacob's life took a while. But he came to the point, and God could say, "Jacob, Jacob." And Jacob said, "I'm here." May that be our hope and our call. When God comes to us and says, "I'd like for you to do this," just say, "I'm willing. I want you to do this." You know, the Lord comes to folks in salvation, they need to be willing to receive the gospel. Then after we're saved, we need to be willing to do what He says. We are His servants. We're the people of His pasture. We belong to Him now that we're saved. And we ought to always be able and willing to say, "Here am I. Lord, use me. Lord, bless me." Now, before we get there, it may take some struggles like it did with Jacob. Tonight, that call was one of surrender. Jacob, you've gone through it. And he said, "Here I am. Use me. Bless me. Do for me, God, as you can." And God made him a place of blessing. One of the great patriarchs of all of Israel is the man called Jacob. Israel. Jacob, we remember him as a trickster. Israel, we remember him as the friend of God, the prince of God, a prince with God. And God touched him and made him a different person. And therefore, he was able to bless those that really were above him as far as the world was concerned. But there's nobody above the child of God. God has put us in a place of high calling. We belong to Him. And one day we shall go to be with Him. But until then, we need to have that place of surrender in our life. I've had it. If you've surrendered your life, whatever it is, you can find that you know the place where I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do." I remember as well as anything, as clear as yesterday, that Wednesday afternoon that I talked to a preacher friend that I had known for a number of years. And that day before church, wasn't even in my home church, and that afternoon before church time, I surrendered my life to do whatever God wanted me to do. That's a place of surrender. Everybody needs to get there. That's not always a call to preach. It's not always a call to be a missionary. But God wants to surrender. God wants to say, "Yes, here I am. What do you have for me?" And then just live right and serve the Lord and look for what God opens the door of opportunity for each of our lives. May God help us to serve Him until He comes for us. Let's stand.